Hi, you're listening to Sincerely Mrs. Mommy, the podcast. SincerelyMrsMommy.com is a mom lifestyle blog dedicated to sharing authentic tips, advice, and inspirational stories for the modern mom. Our goal is to encourage you to grow, thrive, and be confident in every role that you lead. My name is Desiree Ofori. I'm the founder and the host for today. Thank you for tuning in. Let's get started. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Sincerely Mrs. Mommy, the podcast. I'm your host, Desiree Ofori, and I just want to say thank you to everyone who was able to listen to the previous episode, How a Couple's Staycation Saved Our Marriage. It was an episode where I had on a couple of our married friends, France and Chicandra Lumain, and Abby and Donald Gatson, and then my husband was on it as well. Every quarter we do a couple staycation where we swap houses and we just have some time to just reconnect and just go over what's going on in life and encourage each other and do some trivial things and stuff like that. So I decided to take the opportunity to record some of our conversations, and it was just had such an incredible feedback. So I just want to thank everybody for listening and tuning in. We got over 1,000 plays on that episode alone. I have not ever reached that close to an episode reaching that many plays before. So it was just overwhelming for all of us, just excited and just feeling like so blessed to be able to share a part of our lives and know that it has helped so many other people in return. So thank you so much for listening to that. Today, we have Faith Smith, and she's going to be talking about her experience with her husband and how they had a tough patch in their marriage and how they were able to, you know, come back from that. I met Faith about 4 years ago via Instagram after following her maternity fashion page, Mothers in Protest. Faith and her husband, Kahari, they met in college and have been together for 15 years and married almost 11 years. They have two sons, Carter, who is 8, Liam, who is 6, and an adorable Siberian husky who's named Floki. I hope I said that right. Faith is also a prereq biology professor at Alabama A&M. And I am just so grateful for her to be on the podcast today. The part that we're coming in on is she's talking about their relationship in college. We were talking so much before the podcast like officially started that I had to cut some of it out so that it wouldn't be too long. But we're coming in, like I said, about when she's talking about their relationship in college. So you guys enjoy. Definitely check out the blog afterwards so that you can see pictures of Faith if you want to see what she looks like. And her husband, Kahari, they're on there as well. And all the information you need about her will be on that blog post as well. All right. Thanks, guys. Enjoy.
Through college, it was literally like, yes, college sweethearts, but people just talk about college sweethearts like the green eyes. The people don't talk about college sweethearts. That's the time when you are growing. You are trying to find yourself. So college love is crazy. Yeah, college love is a back and forth. I don't even know who I am. So imagine, like, I'm still trying to find myself. You're still trying to find yourself. But Kahari, he always tells people, like, I was so mature that I was really ready for a relationship. Which, because, again, I went to high school at 11. I graduated high school at 16. So I feel like Caribbean kids and kids in other cultures, I went off to boarding school. I went off to boarding school in England when I was 11 on my own, me and my brother. So I feel like,
really?
I went to boarding school for years with my brother. Like, I mean, back and forth, 8-hour flights by ourselves. So I do feel like I was probably more mature than the average 17-year-old here. So I was ready for a relationship when I said I was ready, but he wasn't ready for a relationship. He thought he was, and he wanted to be with me. But all the decisions that he made along the way didn't prove that. But then, But again, it was more good than it was bad. It wasn't anything awful back then. It was just the typical things that every college relationship probably goes through. You know, you're not calling me back, or we get in an argument. You see me at the club dancing with somebody else. All that kind of drama. And then it was, I graduated in 07. And Kahari's whole family, they're from Tennessee, originally from Ohio, but they all live here in Alabama. So his mom, his dad passed away last year, but his dad was here, his sister, everybody's here. So when I would leave, he's here, right here in school. So when I graduated in 07, my whole plan was to go to dental school, be a dentist, and my dad's a dentist. So I went off to Canada. I'm born in Toronto. That's why I ended up in Canada. I went to Canada to study for the DAT, and I lived there for a year. And he actually came up there, and again, people always talk about engagements and, oh, it was just so sweet. But the truth is, because I went to a small Christian school, a lot of people were getting married and engaged before they left college. It was just the norm.
We talk about a private school, the same thing. Christian school, and it was the same way. Yeah.
it's the norm. Mm-hmm. You go to a big Howard or big A&M school, ain't nobody getting married now, child. Anybody talking about that kind of stuff.
But our slogan was ring by spring was our slogan, or your money back.
Listen, it's serious. You get your feelings. Somebody get engaged, you get your feelings. Relationships start arguing. People start not talking to their boyfriend junior, senior year. Like, you didn't propose to me. We were crazy. We were literally like 19. I was 19, 20 years old, copping an attitude when other people were getting engaged, and Kahari and I, you dated for 2, 3 years, 4 years. You ain't proposed to me yet. Like, if I'm the one, you proposed to me, you know, you're going through all that. And then, so he came up to Toronto when I was there, and it was really one of those things. Like, I mean, when I was younger, I would never say this, that like he was there, like people say, oh, you forced him to marry you, you know, like, but when I really think about it, I mean, if I never mentioned marriage, what guy, I'm a strong believer that what guy really want to get married? Like, I mean, like, you know, that's not, That's not really on a guy's front.
Unless you're that age.
Mature. Yeah, and not at that age. Unless you have a maturity level. So, I guess, in a kind of way, of obviously, if a girl is hounding you, saying, and I have sons. So, if your girlfriend is like, you're not proposing to me, you don't love me, like, when are you going to propose to me? Like, oh, we don't even need to be together if you're not going to, you know, like, if you're saying stuff like that, that in a way is leading somebody to, like, I mean, they don't want to lose you. They don't want to break up with you. So, I guess, hell. I guess I might as well propose to her. So it was one of those situations where it was an amazing proposal. He proposed to me at the CN Tower. It was beautiful. And I told my parents I got engaged, and then boom, it was like, that was 2007. Then I was like, again, Christian background, I'm not being engaged for 2, 3 years. I
mean, right.
What's the point? So I got married. We got married in 2008.
Okay.
So that's all college. That's all the drama before. And again, I loved Kahari, and I have no doubt that Kahari loved me. But again, maturity levels. And it doesn't matter if you're 20 or 32 or 42. If you're not mature in your, like, for that type of relationship, the relationship is going to be rocky as heck. Like, I always tell people, it's like, don't give up on anybody. Give up on somebody if you know that they're fully mature and they just don't love you. But if somebody, if you're going through, if you're young and, oh, he don't, I mean, he's just not mature yet. She's just not mature yet. It's just a maturity thing. So we got married in 2008. Mm-hmm. We got married in 2008. And I always tell people, this is my advice now to people, young people. I'm like, whatever problem you had before you got married, you will for sure have it when you get married. It's just, if you did not deal with it. Mm-hmm. Ever marry somebody thinking, oh, when I get married, or when they propose to me, or, you know, everything's going to change. It's not
magically, you know.
No one's going to love you more. No one's going to make less mistakes just because you said I do. And the truth is, you actually just entered a covenant with God. And so I don't know how many of you believe this, but I believe that when you say I do, the devil now is on full blown attack. Like, he didn't care when you were dating. You were basically living in sin, shagging up, doing whatever you got to do. You know, lying, doing stuff behind people. But when you say I do and you're going to do things the right way, everything changes. Everything changes. People, I have friends now that can attest to the fact that they told me, man, we live together now. It ain't nothing going to change. Ain't nothing going to change. And I'm like, let me tell you, I don't know what it is with this I do word. Everything is about, and they'll call me now like, yo, everything is just, because it's just different. It's like covenant. Yeah. It's like a no backing out type situation. It's the, you're back against the wall. And a lot of the issues that I had before we got married, now happened while we got married. And it wasn't just to do with Kahari. Now that I'm mature, I can say that I had a lot of things that I probably should have ironed out myself. Like, yes, I wasn't maybe in, I wasn't into getting attention from other people, but I had a bad attitude, you know, like, I mean, I talked to people, I talked to him any kind of way, you know, like just down to just kind of belittle. Like, I just, I guess it wasn't maybe out of from my heart, but my personality can be very harsh and aggressive. And I'm that way with my kids. Like, it's love, but my delivery is not always the best delivery. And you need to know when you get married, the type of person you are, their love language, what fuels them, what, you know, for me, you don't got to talk nice to me. That's not my love language. Like, you don't have to ever say sweet things to me. I'm still going to be Faith. But other things affect me. So getting into a relationship young, not understanding all those things, me not even getting down to the issue that Kahari's love language and things that fuel Kahari is words of affirmation. How you speak to him speaks volumes. Physical touch. So if you're married, if he's marrying somebody that just never says anything sweet or never like reacts any type of nice way or doesn't talk, you know, gentle, or that affects the person. Like that, that, you know, just like he was affecting me because he wasn't fueling my love language. My love language is quality time and acts of service. So don't buy me anything. Don't tell me I'm sweet. Don't touch me and hug me and kiss me. Just kind of just pop up and do something, not buy anything, just do something or spend quality time with me. So we both were just clashing that way. And like I said, I feel like I was more mature in a relationship when it came to being committed.
Okay.
I probably was immature in other ways, but when it came to commitment, which is, I feel like most women, and again, I don't know statistics, but I could say most women versus men, commitment might be a little bit of a thing, just because guys are so, a lot of guys are so needy when it comes to words and attention. And so again,
and it's funny, young, we don't think that they are that way. They really are.
You don't, because you grow up thinking girls want attention. That girl want attention. That girl want attention, you know? But it's just, we want superficial attention as girls, as females, when they need a deeper type of attention. Like, what's going on? What's wrong with you? And that's not my personality. Like, I really it was not clicking to me that Faith, like, and then what happened is, in the domino effect, I'm reacting now to how he's reacting. So if he's doing something or if he's done something to me, my attitude is getting worse and worse.
Yeah.
Anything he does now, I'm closing off tighter and tighter. My wall is going up higher and higher. I'm getting meaner and meaner. And it's just not, it's just the worst. It's like, he's ready to just give it his all and be his best in the marriage. And then I'm not ready. And then I'm ready to give it my all and be my best. And he's not ready. And it was just, I mean, we went through counseling and just you talking to different pastors, you know, it's just, and they say not to involve family, which is an amazing piece of advice. But I also feel like that can kind of go against a person, because you have to know what family you can go to. I do feel like family is very important, because sometimes people say, I don't talk to family. Family, you don't want family to know your business. But it depends on the type of person you are. I don't tell my dad a lot of things because my dad is a grudge holder. And he holds on to everything, you know, like he remembers. Yeah. And that's the pride. That's why you shouldn't tell family a lot of things, because when you are all good with your husband or your man or your girlfriend,
they still think
you bring him. You bring him to Thanksgiving. Auntie's like, Your brother's like, hell no. Grandma's like, I know he ain't eating this. And you're like all in love. You moved on. Because that's how love, you know, love works in a relationship. Like, you forget about it. You just moved on from it. But I thank God every day for, like, I'm very, very, very close with my family. The only reason I didn't tell my dad those things is because I know how he is. And I knew that at the end of the day, I did not want to lose Kahari, even though I was complaining and acting like, you know, at the time, like, I'm leaving. I can't take this. Like, he's getting attention to me. Like, he's talking to other people on the phone. He's doing all the, he don't love. Even though I sang all those things, I knew it wasn't the end. If it was the end, I would have told my dad. I would have been like, this is it. Like, you can know everything. I don't care if you hold a grudge. But something in the back of my mind was like, I'm not telling it all because I feel like this is not it. So I would tell my mom.
Okay.
And of course, like, my mom is the total opposite of my dad. She's very, like, forgiving. Like, she is, like, literally the epitome of, like, probably what God wants us to be when it comes to, you know, that person did that to you, just move on from it. Like, just forgive them. Just move on. And my dad, so you can imagine their household dynamic.
Yeah.
My dad's like, my mom's like, yes. And she's like, my mom, like, it's hilarious. But I would tell my mom, you know, my mom would just be like, you know, like, I mean, come on. Like, what is he going to, my mom's always going to have my back, you know. But my, again, my mother has a son. I have a brother. So she comes at it from Kahari's point of view, which is perfect. It's like, you can come at it from a daughter. But again, when you get married, I know it's easy for us to be like, oh, we accept. No. My mom really gained a son. Kahari is like third kid in the household. So
I remember I saw you that. Yeah, that she really loves him a lot.
Yes, like she like checks Kahari like on the daily. So it's kind of like, it's good because she's not that kind of mom that's like, oh, hell no, you my daughter. He, I don't know him, his family. No, she's really like our family. Like what's like, Kahari, she's coming it from all. So I would talk to my mom all the time and it was just kind of like a ups and downs. So then you go through something like, let's say finding emails or calls. And again, it was nothing crazy, you know, like, okay, all crazy to me. Cause I feel like emotional affairs, conversational affairs, physical affairs, they're all betrayal because you're giving the person one image when you've made a commitment. So it's all the same to me. It might not be the same to everybody, but for me, and especially with a man, especially a guy who wants attention and you're feeding that means it's a deeper affair because now somebody's fueling you and making you, you know what I'm saying? Which can lead to something because a lot of the situation, there ain't no Halle Berry's and no Beyonce's because let me tell you, when people have affairs or cheat or talk to somebody outside of their marriage, usually it's not an upgrade.
And that is because
they honestly entered the friendship. It was a friendship. They honestly entered the friendship thinking, I'm not attracted to this person. Like, they're not even my type. I don't even think they're cute. Like, but emotions, I'm telling you, the more you talk to somebody, they become more attractive. The more you say sweet things, they become nice. It's just, that's why it's a dangerous... It's dangerous downhill. It's a downhill. That's why I feel like, yes, you can have male and female friends in a marriage, but they shouldn't pass a certain friendship level because it's like a snowball.
Mm-hmm.
The more you talk to somebody, the more you befriend somebody, the more time you spend. That's why arranged marriages work. The more time you spend, you can't. It's human nature. You just fall in love. It's like you start getting feelings that shouldn't be there because of that time spent with that person. So we would go through a lot of that, like workplace friends, you know, just little things like that, up and down for year one, year two, year three, year four. I mean, it was just like, but again, out of 12 months, I would have majority good months. It was, I really loved Kahari. We would have an amazing time. I got pregnant in like 2009. We had Carter in 2010. So that was like, I guess almost 2 years after.
Okay.
So, but I wouldn't say a kid changed anything because Carter really belongs to my mom. Like, he spent like nine months out of the year in Antigua, like when he was first born. Like, so he was like go back and forth. So a kid never messed up anything like that with us. It was literally just Kahari needing something from me needing something from Kahari, him not fueling what I need, I'm not fueling what he needs, I'm not understanding him, he's not understanding me. It was just crazy. And I think if I can swear, shit hit the fan, sis. It hit like, and when you think about shit hitting the fan, like we say that phrase, but it really like, it hits the fan, it goes everywhere. That's how it was. It was like, you kind of get to that point where you can only get happy inside and happy inside so long. Like the covering up and the, oh, we're good now. Or you forgive me. Oh, you know, oh, we moved on. Oh, we did. Unless you get to the deeper, yeah, for real. Unless you get to the deeper issue. And in 2015, we did that, you know, back when like, I'm done. That's my phrase. That was my phrase for like the first time. I'm done. You know, back and forth. It's not working. And then you add another kid in 3 years. And then it's not working. And then you're good. And then you're bad. And then you're up. And you're down. And in 2015, earlier that year, I was like, you know what? It's done. Like, I'm done. Like, and then I tried to do something that I'd never done before. I was like, it's done. Move out. I had never done that before. It was more like, it's done. Go in the guest room. And then, you know, girl, before you know it, you done bend down by the kitchen and y'all kissing. And before you know, you done, you done moved on from everything. You know, you forget everything. And like, oh, you just covered up. That's happened. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to try something different. I'm going to really shake shit up right now. I'm going to be like, and nothing had happened. I didn't see a call or hear any. I did nothing. I just was like, you know what? I'm not happy. You're not happy. It's kind of like a roommate situation. Like, it's like, we're good, we're bad. It's just wasn't a joyful situation. And so And let me know if I'm talking too much. You
know. No, you're good. Go ahead.
And so I was like, so move out. That was like January 25th. I was like, okay, so you move to your mom's house. He was like, you know, the usual. No. You're like, we're going through like, and so it's kind of like, this is where I feel like females like that attention, where it's kind of like, you're saying all those things, but you really don't want it. You're just kind of saying it and saying it, like, move out, this is over. Because you kind of, you're saying those things for a change. Yeah. You're kind of saying all those threats and saying all those things because you want it to be like a miraculous change to happen because you're scaring it out of the person. But really, it hadn't worked for 7 years that I'm leaving. So what is going to make it now? So I was like, okay, I'm going to shake it. It's like, move out, go to your mom's house, okay? And then I was like, adamant, like, move. Okay, so fine. Like a few days later, he goes to his mom's house. And so literally within, so that, you know, you're trying to play hard to get, like, I'm not answering calls, I'm not texting, like, you need to deal with yourself, like, I'm not happy in this marriage, that type of deal. And then a few days later, it turns into, okay, well, I want you to move back in. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, well, did we deal with anything? No. Did anything? No. Now it's just that I'm missing him because I do love him. So I'm like, come on, move back in. And girl, he was like, no.
Oops.
Yeah, I'm about to go home and kill my husband right now when I talk about it. I'm like, He's like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, you done made me mad today. I'm talking about 2015. And so, yes, and you know what? I said this to a friend the other day who's going through something. I said, it was God. I said, because if he had moved back in, it would have just been the same like every time else. It would have been like, I don't like you. Restroom situation. Okay, now we good. Okay, then something come up and now we bad. There's something. It was really, he was like, no. And I was really like, what? And then now I'm starting to be traumatized. Like, what do you mean you're not moving back in? I was like, you know, what's going on? And it was just, it was awful. And it was like, his ground was so tight to the floor. Like, no. I was like, wow. I was like, listen. And then you tried everything else. So I tried, like, you know, again, you know, you're using the kids now. So I'm like, well, you need to come get these kids and take them to your mom's house. Like, I'm not just going to be here watching the kids. You know, he would come and, like, visit these kids. And mind you, this went on for weeks and a week. It literally went January, February, March. Like, almost 3 months and nobody knew. That. And again, when you think nobody knows, trust me, these folks do know him. Girl.
So, like, picking up on what was going on before he moved out.
Well, kids, again, at that time, Carter was, he was like 4. Liam was like 2. So it was like, not really, because he would come over. Carter would come over all the time. They'd go to their grandma's house. So it was like, kind of, it wasn't nothing. But again, when I know for a fact, like after a while, like the, because when he would come again, it wouldn't be peaceful. It's like, you're coming. You're telling me you're not coming home. So of course I'm going to argue with you. Now I'm trying to, you know, I start off smiling, try to be nice, and I go from zero to like Hulk in 2 seconds. So I'm arguing. And I would argue from the kids. I had no filter. I'm like, I'm arguing. I'm cussing. I'm just going in. And it was just, you know, it just wasn't a good situation. And we think kids are too young, but the truth is they pick up on things all the time. So I'm sure for a fact, you know, Carter, he's very sensitive to these things. So I know during that time he could sense that something was just totally off. And so he was like, no. And then I involved my parents, because at this time I'm like, well, shoot, I talk to my mom 24 hours a day. Like, if I wasn't talking right now, I would talk to my mom on my lunch break. I talk to my mom that often. So it would be a situation where I would be start ignoring my mom's calls because I'm angry. I'm going through something. Like, she can read it all over my face. There's no audio with my mom. It's FaceTime. Like, what, she can read me. So it's kind of like I'm faking the funk. I'm like trying to go through it. Like, I'll only call when Kahari is like over at the house. So she would hear him and she'd be like, Kahari, I'm like, yeah, he's there. And it was just, I mean, it was just not good. So I couldn't, there's nothing else I could do. I was like, you're not coming home. It's been like weeks or whatever. And then at this point I'm like, well, bro, you got somebody else. Cause only so long you're gonna put your foot down.
Yeah.
I don't like going too much into depth, you know, with our relationship. I'm willing to spill all my tea. But, you know, I mean, I respect Kahari's privacy or whatever, but I was like, at this point, there's something or somebody keeping you away from the house at this point, because you ain't getting no home-cooked meals, your mama ain't got no cable, bruh. Bruh. Okay, exactly. So I'm like, okay, so what had happened was maybe one of these people I just shut. So now my mind is going crazy. My imagination all over the place. I'm like, oh, so what's going on? He done talking to somebody. What's he doing? You know, it's going all over the place. So, and then again, I don't know anything. I'm just really just going off my imagination, because I'm like, you have never refused me like that. I mean, like, that's just not the Kahari I knew. Kahari is the sweetest person on earth. Like, literally, like, I used to say before I met Kahari, like, if me and Kahari ever get together, if we break up, it's going to be my fault. If me and Kahari ever get together, it's going to be my fault. It's going to be my fault. Because he's just, like, I mean, anybody who knows Kahari, he's fun, loving. I mean, he is so sweet. Like, he really is a gentle soul. So I was like, this is a new Kahari that I'm seeing. So somebody put in this confidence. Oh, somebody. Somebody's gassing the head. Somebody's gassing this. And so I was like, okay. I was like, okay, that's it. Like, I have to tell my parents at this point. And so I told my mom, I told my parents, my parents were like, come on, let's go. That's it. Book flight, gone. Like, that was, it was literally that quick. Quit my job. I cleared out my house. Like, and again, it was kind of like, you're 1 foot in, 1 foot out. Like, I did not honestly feel like my marriage was totally ended, but I was like, something has got to give. I want Kahari back. At this point, all these years, he wanted it, and I didn't really want the relationship anymore because it's arguing. Now I want it, and now I'm on the other end of it. He doesn't want the relationship anymore. And, you know, my mom's always taught me, you know, a guy don't want you, a guy not fighting. Move on, girl. Like that, don't ever fight for a guy's attention. It's pointless. And my mom always said, be with somebody who loves you more than you love them. And it sounds crazy, but it's true. Like, it makes it easier when the guy, and I know we're not attracted to guys that love us more than we love them. It's just, like hard to get. We like the challenge. It's the worst feeling to be behind somebody that is just like shutting you down. So I told my parents, I packed up and I took every picture, every nail, every plate out that goddamn house, girl. I packed that house up so tight. And let me tell you, for years, I was like, my friends are buying homes. We don't have a home. Like, you know, like, why don't we have a home? Like, we need to like buy a home, like, you know, all those things. And the truth is, this is just like, I'm not into tattoos, but I feel like I need a tattoo or a forehead with a domino. Like, the domino effect is real. The God domino effect. Like, what? Now, karma is one thing, but it's all to do with God. Like, if we had a home before 2015, it would have been awful. Because at that time, we were on the rock. We were like, it's over. So we really would have probably put house on the market. It was that serious. We were like, it's over. I moved to Antigua. Everything is out of the house. My things are in storage. We would have probably been ending our mortgage or whatever it was. It wasn't the right time. Okay, so fine. We're renting a home. I pack up everything. And again, I pack it up at a storage, you know, down the street. Like, I mean, I'm saying like it's 99% over, but that 1% in me is like, oh, like he's going to come back on a white riding horse, you know.
Yeah.
And during this time, like, something clicked to me. Like, something's got to give with me. For years, I'm like, you need to do this for me to do this. You need to change. I'm not changing. You're the one that's causing all. You're. Something said to me, you know what, Faith? Like, you got a lot wrong with you. And I read the book, two books, Love and Respect, and I Need to Get the Author, and Praying, Power of a Praying Wife. During the time when Kahari was like, no. I was like, I had nowhere to turn. And really, if I didn't have, and I can say this out loud now, but if I did not have parents that love me, like, and if I died, they probably would die. Mm-hmm. I probably would have hurt myself. Like, it was that point where I was like, yo, like, I cannot do this anymore. Like, what are my friends going to think? What is everybody going to think? Like, how am I going to go through this? Like, Huntsville is so small. Like, oh my God, all eyes on me. This is so embarrassing. You know,
right.
Everything is crashing down. If I did not have, and this is why I can see people who, and don't get me wrong, there are people who commit suicide and stuff that have loved ones, of course. But I'm saying, I can see how it's like, you feel like you have nothing to live for. Because, you
know,
but I really knew I had everything to live for with or without Kahari. So I was like, you know what? I can't do anything like that. And I would like call my pastor and I'm like, I told you, I was like, he has somebody else. I don't know who, but I just feel like it. I was like, he's not coming home. Like, it's it. And then, I mean, during that time, when I was reading Love and Respect, and Love and Respect is a book about, it's like a husband and wife type perspective, like what a husband needs, what a woman needs. And for years, I really was in the mindset, because of my person, I was like, I need respect. And Kahari needs love. He needs love. He needs attention. He's always looking for love. But really, that book opened my eyes to show that a man needs respect, and a woman needs to feel loved. And let me tell you why. Respect, I'm thinking of respect like respect in our mind. But it really comes down to how you talk to somebody, how you uplift that person, the view of how you view them. And me as a woman with love, I'm thinking I needed respect, but really it was the love that you love me so much that you kind of will respect me. You love me so much that you're not going to do anything to hurt me. You love me. So that's what I needed. And that's what he needed. And that book opened my eyes and I was like, wow, like I was doing this all wrong. Like I was like, I don't need love. I need respect. I need respect. And you don't need any type of respect. You need me. And Power of a Praying Wife showed me that. Let me tell you, you can't be pretty enough, you can't be rich enough, you can't be famous enough. If a man is not ready to do right, a man is not gonna do right. Like, I don't care what it is that you're doing. Like, he's not gonna stop what he's doing. He might stop for weeks or months or years, but if it's in him, he's not ready to commit and just do everything he can do to be that one for you. It's not gonna happen. He has to find God in order for him to do that. And so during that time, I was praying for Kahari. Let me tell you, just praying. I was like, God, pray, be with his thoughts, be with it. I mean, I don't know what we're going through. I don't know. I'm not giving up on this marriage. I'm making him think I am. I'm making my parents think I am. But really, the whole world would have thought it was over. But in my mind, I'm like, I'm not giving up. I was like, I'm praying for him. I said, he is too awesome of a guy. He is too sweet of a guy. He loves you, God. Like, I mean, he's doing all these things to upset me, but I just know that there's somebody good in there. And I feel like a lot of times we give up on relationships too fast, and that's why divorce rates are too high, because it's kind of like one thing happens, you're like, oh well, I'm not staying with nobody with that. But you got to get down to deeper issues, like, you know, pray about. And I said to myself, I can't give up on this marriage until I know that I can walk away and say I did everything I could. Mm-hmm. And I know I didn't. I said, I'm not going to walk away until I say I was the best faith that I could be. And then it just didn't work out. I did everything I, because some people have given their all and the person did not change or give. So I said, I wasn't the best fate that I can be. So I said, God, I promise you, like, if I get back in, and you know, I kind of, we just took weeks away from each other. So I was in Antigua this time, and you know, I'm like just calling one here and there for like the boys, and then it just something, I don't know, it's my prayers, it's God. Kahari started to turn around over those phone calls and was like, you know what, like, man, like, I don't know, you won't even imagine what I've been through, like, since we've, like, you know, split, like, you'll imagine who I've talked to, what I've done, whatever he's been doing. He's like, yo, God has been showing me, no matter, he's trying to fight this, because remember, he's the one that's like, no, see, he's trying to fight this, like, it's over, it's no point, she's never gonna trust me, she's never gonna show me love, it's whatever, it's over. He's trying to fight this, but at the same time, everything he's trying to do, everyone he's trying to talk to, every situation he's trying to find himself in, God is showing him. He said that God was showing him that ain't nobody gonna love you like Faith. No one is gonna love you like Faith. No, let me tell you, and he'll have to come on here and tell his side, but the way he described it, it's kind of like an eye-opener, like, everything that, so we're separated now, and so, of course, like, I mean, now he really poor soul, yeah, all the birds and the bees are coming out, because, honey, they are thirsty out here, so, and he's not hiding it, I was hiding it, because I was like, oh, no, like, I'm not going to tell anybody, because we're probably, and he was like, you know, Kahari was just, he was like, yeah, Faith and I separated, you know, in his mind, he's like, Faith is not coming back, so, I mean, I'm just going to say what it is, so, he's engaging, talking to people, and he's like, yo, Faith, like, everything they start to do annoy me, like, he's like, I don't know what it is, he's like, it just all started to just kind of like, it's like, the devil had fluffed it up into an ice cream cone, it's all, like, three stacks, and he said, like, when we ended it now, so it's kind of like, because that's what happens. In marriages, the devil makes everything outside your marriage look so good.
Yeah.
Everybody is so sweet. Everybody is so nice. He is, that guy over there is so handsome. He talks to you so nice. He makes so much money. He makes everything so perfect. The grass so green. And that devil, let me tell you, when you actually step over into the grass now, you walking on it and paint is coming off of your damn foot. Because you're like, this foot was painted all along. Like, you wooed me over here. You tricked me. Like, because that's what it is. Nobody is perfect. So no matter how pretty a girl at work is and how sweet she talks to you, let you and her share some bills and some kids. Oh, she going to nag you too. Let you not pick up her call. She's not going to be that sweet. Because she's not. The reason why she's not in a relationship is because she was nagging somebody else. Nobody's perfect. So everything just started to be shown to Kahari, and it was only God that could be shown. And then we started talking, and it was just like, I'm like, Kahari, I have changed. And he said, and I don't know what it is, but I tell you, I turned around. Like, I know people say, you know, it takes a while to change. I don't know what it is. And I don't know if this happens often. This might be the rarest case. But I literally made a 180. Like, I turned around into a whole new being. Like, people meet me now and say, yo, there's something different about you. Like, the way I come across, the way I speak to people. I was just like, even without Kahar, it was kind of like me just reading those books. And I was just like, yo, I just want to be a better person. I want to, you know, just, you know, talk out things, be nicer. Just, it just all changed. And I said, it wasn't that I was a BIT from the beginning. It was that things happen to harden me.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the time, that's what happens to that quote unquote angry black woman. It's kind of like things happen to make us angry and upset, and we come across it. We kind of destroy who we could be. Yeah. We destroy who we could be. We're not giving our full potential. You're not seeing how awesome I can be because I got all these walls and I'm so angry. Like, I've been through so much. And so that's what was coming across. And I decided to just chip away at that and just reveal back the faith that Kahari probably fell in love with at the cafeteria, that my friends like, that I was just, you know, just chipping away, just being sweet. And girl, let me tell you, I'm telling my mom these things, like, yeah, you know, she's like, don't go. So this one, my mom's just like over it. Like, she's just like, okay, like, you know, the sweetest person on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Just, at this point, she's like, yes, yes, yes. So no, you were not about to go back to Kahari. He didn't want, you know, she's telling me, like, I mean, my mom is breaking it down, like, just making me in tears. Like, he don't want you. He don't want you. And I'm like, mom, no, no. I said, he don't want, he gonna do this again. You know, you're going through that back and forth. And literally, like, I'm still that person that I'm an adult, but I still do everything my parents want me to do.
Mm.
Not that time. I was really like, I just have to go with it. I was like, mom, no. I was like, no. I was like, and you know what? Let me tell you how people work. That was my mom was sweet. My dad's the grudge holder. So I didn't tell him nothing until last minute. I told my mom, says, I'm so used to my mom being like, yeah, yeah, you know, my dad, like, I'm not telling him anything because I'm just thinking, like, he's a, I prejudge my dad's whole disposition on everything because I'm like, dad, I can't tell daddy anything. Like, he's going to, like, hit Kahari for the rest of his life. And do you know, during that separation when I was in Antigua, they switched places. My mom was like, oh, hell no. And my dad was like, my dad's been married 3 times. This is my mom is his third wife. He's been married for 35 years to my mom. So my dad's been through divorce twice. And he said to me, he said, you know what, Faith? I can't tell you what to do. He's like, but let me tell you, the things that you are arguing about now, you're not going to care about in 2 years. Like, you're not going to care. Like, the thing, the way you're being, like, basically he caught, like, you're being petty on things now. Like, push through. Like, he was basically telling me, push through and don't give up. Like, he was really, in those words, like, just kind of just go for it. Like, don't give up.
Yeah.
Because you're going to bounce from one guy to another. And then what? That guy's not going to be perfect. He gonna have issues that you got. What's she gonna do? Bounce from another to? And I don't know my dad's situation before and how he, you know, what. But it came from a place like nobody's perfect, and marriage takes work. And the reason why him and my mom work, like, he probably wasn't before the work before, but now work at it, work at it. And so, you know, my mom's basically like looking at my dad's side eye now because she's like, oh, I'm your daddy, like, he don't know nothing. Like, I can't believe, you know, like, you know, don't like, he doesn't know how. No, and it just, I think it all dominoes. He wasn't supposed to know half the story that I told my mom. He wasn't, because this was his role at this point in time, was to encourage me to stick with my marriage. And I'm like, dad, like, I just, you know, and then he's like, what do you, and at this point, I'm like, when I got the confirmation from my dad, kind of like what side he was on, like, you know, he was like, go for it. I really was like, that was like such a encourage. I was like, yo, I'm going for it. Like, I'm going. And at that time, like I said, Kahari and I, not at this time, we're praying over the phone together. We're sharing devotions together. And I'm like, you know what? I don't want to come back. And he's like, no one's, he's not rushing me back. I'm not rushing to go back. But it was really like, I'm not going on the next flight. Like, we clearly have some issues that we need to hash out. So it was more like a, he poured everything out, like a full blown, like, Catholic church confessional. Like, you know, just, we too many times we like move on, but we didn't empty out what we, so it's baggage. It's like, you didn't tell me everything, or we didn't hash everything out. So then we bring it in. I said, I'm not coming back with anything. Like, I don't care. I was like, we're at our lowest now. Like, what more? Like, I'm already out of the house. Like, so tell it all, Faith. You tell it all. I tell it, like, just a tell all, how you feel, where you're at, what you've done, just everything. And just coming from a place where, like, you know, and he would always go to California, like, to visit his best friend. And he was like, he went to college that time. They went to Vegas. He was just like, he's like, nothing is the same. He's like, he felt like it was almost like I said, that ice cream effect with the devil is like, it tasted so good at first. And then now,
you're
like, what the heck? Like, oh, like, it's just, nothing is enjoyable. Nothing tastes the same. It was just all like a fluffy trick. And, you know, let me tell you, if it had not been for God, like, it really was just a finding ourselves, just deciding, like, I'm going to change. Like, I've already changed. It really was, like, I feel like if Kahar and I didn't even get back together, I would have been the Faith I am today. Because during that separation, during the times where he was like, no, 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 something clicked in me that I was just like, I want to change for myself. I need to dig deeper for myself. And let me tell you, it was just literally our whole marriage took a one, like, it just flipped completely around. Like, it sounds impossible. When I say it, it sounds crazy. It was literally like, it was not a gradual thing. It was not a, over these past few years, we've been getting better and better. No, it literally was a, we separated.
So, like, something just clipped. Something just clicked.
Like, it was like, I clicked, he clicked. Again, it wasn't overnight, because during the separation, I'm clearly working on me. The Lord, the God is working on him. Somehow, some way, revealing different taste than all the temptations you thought you wanted. Just revealing everything to him.
Yeah.
And then it just, when we got back together, like, it was crazy. Like, I mean, I left the kids in Antigua because I was like, okay, you know what? Let me get back. You know, like, we definitely need one-on-one. Like, it was during the summertime. I got back to Huntsville, and it was, I mean, like, literally running to him in the airport. Like, it was like, yes, it was almost like a, you date somebody in college and you're like, you take them for granted, or you're cute.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, the day to day. But this was like a, this is our second chance type of me running to you. Like, yo, like, I'm loving you out of choice now. Not because I was with you for years. Not because you're cute. Not because I didn't want anybody to think anything. Because trust me, everybody thought everything already. And let me touch on that a little bit. Let me tell you, anybody listening to this that's going through something, you speak to people who you trust, who maybe have been through what you have been through. Because any friend, if they have not been through something like this, I'm sorry, they're not going to relate, and their advice may or may not be correct. You know, you have to go to somebody who has been through something like it. Because during that time, Kahari, like I said, he was on a, whatever, it's done. You said it's done. You kicked me out, so I'm living life. Like, you know, you didn't want me. And so during that time, like, we had, like, a homecoming for our school, and he was, girl, he was at the club. Like, we went, oh, that's when it kind of, again, we go to a small school, so we go into a homecoming. So when we go to the homecoming, it's like a couple thousand people, but, I mean, I'm not saying that I'm super popular or anything, but Everybody knows us together. People know us together. They know we have two kids. They're seeing us in the same building in two separate areas. So now it's like, y'all saw Faith over there. What's good? Like, they didn't talk to each other. Like, you know, now it's like we're in public eye now. Before, it was for weeks. People didn't know for weeks, for months, what was going on. But now I decided that I'm not going to go. And of course, he's like, well, I'm not going to go. He's going with his friends, and I'm here with I take my kids, and so you can stay over there if you want to. And I'm looking at him crazy, and people ask me, where car? And I'm looking at them crazy, like, I don't know. Like, so now it's like, spread like wildfire. And then that evening, we had, like, there was like a party, there's different parties going on, and Kahari went. I didn't go because I had the kids. So Kahari went, and he got drunk, and he's like spilling the tea, child.
I could kill him,
but it's okay. I love him, but it's okay. He's like, he's seeing my quote unquote friends, who are people who I'm acquaintance with. Like, and to me, friends is a very strong word. Like, I have friends, like sisterly friends. Like, I'm like, you know, and I have a very small, I can count on two finger type friendship with friends. Like, literally, very small group of friends. But then there are people who I went to college with that, you know, like, I see you, we go out, you know, we drink, we'll go out to lunch, you know, but it's like a friendship, but nothing deep. It's not, yeah. I'm not asking you nothing, you're not asking me nothing. Girl, if you saw my husband down the street with 60 girls, you probably wouldn't call me type of friendship, you know, like, so, and it revealed a lot, because again, Kahari's been a guy, you know, he's just like, whatever, and he's gone with the wind. So he's not like, yeah, you know, me and your friend, like, we said, like, you know, he's just going to spilling it. And so, girl, so I'm here home with the kids, I'm just chilling, not one phone call from nobody. Okay, so I'm like, that night must have been great. Sunday goes by, Monday goes by, Tuesday goes by. Wednesday, I get a call from a quote-unquote supposedly friend that says, this is what this person says to me. Oh my gosh, I know you and Kahari are going through something. Let me know if you need my help. for, like, I think it was a, oh, I know you're moving or something. Let me know if you need my help packing. I said,
the what? The first time you're talking to me about this?
I said, the what? The packing? What you talking about? Where am I going? I didn't tell, mind you, my ticket is bought at this point, but I'm like, I didn't tell you nothing. It was, let me tell you, it was just like, that, I think at that point where I was sitting in my car, I was like, and the person called me. They were like, yeah, I mean, I know, I heard you in Kahari. I mean, I was supposed to Kahari. And, you know, like, yeah, so, I mean, just let me know. Like, I mean, if you need, like, it was really like, if you, this, my memory could do me wrong, but I swear that person said, let me know if you could need me packing. So I'm like, yeah, no, I'm good. You know, all this time, they're like, yeah, I mean, I don't know all the details and stuff, but I mean, yeah, you know, trying to get some tea, trying to get some tea. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I said, and again, I'm frustrated at Kahari for even opening it up to, you know, because remember, to him, it's completely done. For me, I'm like, still like, no, you know. So I'm like, I didn't want the world involved. So I'm really like, I can't believe him. So I'm really like, well, I don't know what Kahari told you, but he needs to go and do whatever he dealing with. He, you know, so I'm like, it's on Kahari at this point. So I'm like, you tell, I'm going to throw you under the bus, bro. Like, you done told everybody about business. So I hang up from that person. Then phone ring again. 2 minutes later, it's another friend that's closer with that person who called me. So I said, oh, so y'all talking. Y'all had a conversation before y'all even called me. So I'm getting back-to-back calls. Mind you, this was Saturday night. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. This is Wednesday, Desiree. When these this two was people back to back. Yeah, so this party was Saturday night. Y'all,
oh, wow.
Y'all, Saturday night. Y'all let all these days by. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, that opened my eyes to, like, honestly, people now, and if anybody's listening to this that you just that know me or know the situation or was involved, you can see now why I'm very standoffish now. Like, I'm cool, I'm friendly. Y'all need me to make a project for y'all kid, I got you. Y'all invite me to a birthday party, I have you. I'm having something, I'll invite you. But it's still not going to be anything past that, because during that time, I really felt like the kind of friend that I am and the kind of friends that I have, like friend, like sister friends, mm-hmm. they would have been like, girl, I know you can't hear me right now because this music is loud as hell, but you need to come down here now. Kahari's at the club. That's the kind of friend, I am. If somebody, if your husband is out talking to me at the club, you best believe I'm going outside right now. Like, you not there? And y'all got
Like, what's going on?
Girl, I don't know what's going on, but come get your man. You don't got to tell me nothing, but just come get your man. He is down here.
Acting a fool.
Sunday go by, Monday go by, Tuesday go by. You didn't call me after the club. You didn't call me Sunday morning after breakfast. You didn't call me Monday during work. You didn't call me. So that means you were discussing. There were discussions going on. Y'all were running with this. Y'all were discussing. Y'all were talking. And that showed me that clearly, we are friends, but we are not friends. If we are friends, you should have had no type of hesitation to call me. You should have never doubted my reaction. And this is not the first time. There has been situations in the past as well. And as little as I'm thinking, I'm thinking, like, oh, ain't nobody know nothing about my business. I've had acquaintances say things to me like, oh, yeah, because, I mean, I know you guys have had issues. What issues you talking about? So that means discussions are going on. I don't live in New York City. I mean, I'm going to a small private school with all these people in the same kind of circle. So that means that you guys have discussed things without me, and that's not the type of person I am. I don't discuss people, but I should have known that when people discuss their friends with you, just know that they are discussing you with their friends. And so that should have been I should never have been surprised anyways. But it really was just a eye opener during that time. And I was like, you know, I don't care what anybody says about me getting back or what. I said, I'm so changed right now. I'm in such a good place right now. I know Kahari's in a good place right now. We ran to each other at the airport and we have never looked back. I have never been happier since 2015. I joke with people. I say, you know, this year makes 11 years I've been married, but we're going to count them seven. We're going to charge them seven to the game and be like, happy third year. Happy third year anniversary. Because it has just been so different. I mean, like, and again, has it been perfect? I want to say it's been so close to perfect, but I don't want to sound like that's a lie, but it really has been so close to perfect, not because it's been perfect, but because two people are now fighting for the same thing. Two mm-hmm. people are respecting each other the right way, loving each other the right way, filling each other's love tank the right way. When we have an argument, the new me is like, yeah, so I'm on my way home from work. I know you said that at 2 o'clock and it's 3:20, but we need to talk about this now. Like, I want to talk about it. And mind you, that's the same person that I could hold on to something for 2 weeks. Like, hell, it's a competition at this point. Who cannot talk for the longest? Like, I will hold on. But the new me is like, no, let's hash it out. No, like, my husband always laughs. He says, I always say, no room for error, no room for error. What room for error means, the longer you go without talking to somebody, you are now you're getting a space between you for error. The things can happen during that space. Either somebody can say, oh, wow, I like your jacket. And he's like, oh, yeah, thanks. I got it from such and such. Oh, I like your dress. And before you know it, you then gone on a whole conversation that shouldn't even be going on. Or room for error, not just from outside, but room for error is thoughts about the other person that shouldn't be there. Like, maybe I could have negative thoughts about him. And now I'm festering things. And my imagination is going wild. And I'm creating things that's not happening in my head. You know, just going out of way. So I really was like, no room for error. Deal with it now. Whatever is hell, I don't care what it is. And literally, we laugh off everything now. It's literally like, I mean, yesterday, like, the type of arguments we have is, I was supposed to go to the gym for a 5:30 class yesterday, and Kahari at 5:15 is still, like, putting on his makeup upstairs. And I'm, like, cussing. I'm, like, back in the seat pile, pretending like I'm leaving. And he's, and, like, he comes in the car, he puts on his headphones, because he's like, man, your attitude sucks. Like, he's like, oh, my God. And then, like, by the time we get in the class, like, I'm already cycling, because I'm, like, I'm late. So I'm, like, getting there. I'm, like, you need to park this car and take these kids in. And so I was, like, drop me off at the front. He comes in there, like, 15 minutes late, and we, like, look at each other, and I'm just, like, laughing at him. I'm, like, you're such an idiot. Like, I hate you. And it's just kind of, like, that situation, it's like, it's not perfect, but like my dad said, the things that you held on to before are so petty now. Like, the smallest things now, like, that would have been a big deal for me. Like, that, me and him at the gym, or him giving me an attitude for 5 minutes, would have been, oh, well, you want to give me an attitude and put your headphones in because I said you late? Well, I'm going to not talk to you for the rest of the night, and I'll talk to you. You know, small things that become big problems that really are not big, but they just kind of fester. And so my advice is to people, is literally like, I mean, God over everything. Like, I mean, if it hadn't been for God, I would not have changed, and Kahari would not have changed. And you have to kind of be, you can't be ready for a relationship to work and the other person not, or they can't be ready, because that's what we went through. He's ready to give his all. I'm not ready. Or I'm ready for counseling. He's not ready. He's ready for counseling. I'm not. Both people have to decide, like, listen, it's now or nothing. It's give it our all, like, right now. And it just happened that it all aligned. It went crazy. Things happen, separation. That's not God's plan. But God allows us that we have to live with the consequences of our actions. So what we do, he allows us to do. He's not a robotic God. He's going to allow us to do it. But the consequences was a separation. It was kids being all the way in Antigua. It was Kahari now. It was just, like, Kahari, always, in his mind, he thinks that everything, he's glad everything happened the way it did because of how we are now. I kind of think a little differently, and I'm like, I really don't, I'm kind of like, well, I understand why we are where we are now, but I wish those things did not need to happen to get us where we are. But yeah, think about it two different ways. But like I said, because that's because you were on the outside and kind of like, I'm on the receiving end, or I'm receiving your, so whatever. But I just feel like, clearly, the domino effect, everything happened for a reason. I mean, like, in 2015, all tests happened. And, you know, they say a woman's loyalty is tested when a man has nothing. A man's loyalty is tested when a man has everything. And before 7 years of financial going up and down, like, my parents paying for this, I'm begging my parents, I'm like, oh, we're good, we're good. And the truth is, like, I can't pay for the bill, I can't pay for nothing. Like, I'm not really working, or I'm working a job that, you know, not really paying anything. Kahari may lose his job. It was just going up and down. We're renting, we have this, you know, like, we have, at first we have two cars, and we have one car, and then it was just up and down. And then in 2015, and God was preparing us for where we are now, because in 2015, do you know, I came back in, like, June, July, August, like, over the summer, whatever. Like, I think it was, like, August I came back. And later on that year, Kahari lost his job. Like, totally lost his dream job that he had, that was gassing him up to think he was everything. And it was just, imagine if we had a home. We would have lost the home during that time, because I wasn't working. Remember, I quit my job. And he was the breadwinner. And he lost. And it was God preparing us for it. Because I feel like during that time, we wouldn't have been strong enough to support each other emotionally and spiritually to get through that time. He lost his job that December, and we were just in a place where it was like, if he had lost his job before, my attitude would have just been worse at that point. Yeah. I would have been like, well, you don't deserve nothing from me. This is what you get. Like, this is what, you know, you're at, you know. But at that time, it was kind of like, you know what? Clearly God has a plan for us. I don't know what it is. We're gonna ride this out. He said to me that he was gonna, he got fired from a specific company. He was like a medical staffer. They put doctors in hospitals. And he said the next, like that next week, he was like, you know what? I'm going to start my own company just like it. And I'm like, okay, fine. Do what you got to do. At this point, I will homeschool kids around town. I will, people, I tell people all the time, I said, I don't talk about things that my parents did. My dad was head of state of Antigua for 15 years. He was governor general. I've had to clean up, had to drive, I've had everything. But let me tell you something. The type of woman that I am, I'm similar to my mom. I will clean house. I will cut lawn. I will wipe ass. I will do whatever I have to do to hold
it. Yeah.
I would never, like, I wasn't calling my parents. But no, I mean, thank God for my parents who just kind of read me and know. When they ask me, is everything okay? And they can tell. I'm like, yeah. They're like, okay, yeah, we're sending the kids to school.
So yeah.
Like, yeah, you're lying. Like, and, you know, my mom up to this day, she's like, for months you told me Kahari was in the house and he wasn't. I can't trust you. Show me him. Show me. She's like, you lied to me. And I believe you. So right now, like, these past few years have been hilarious. So she's like, show me Kahari's face. Like, you lied to me. Tell me he's in the house. I can't trust y'all. So my parents, like, thank God for parents like that during the time where I'm like, yeah, I got it. I'm good. And we're like, hell, I don't know where this girl's going to come from. I don't know how to, you know. Just kind of making ends meet, and just everything aligning the way where it put in the position for me to be a supportive wife to Kahari during that time when he's trying to build his company. We're renting this home. We're barely making ends meet. You know, it's just all just divine timing. And then things started to pick up with his company that he was, you know, working on. And then we just built our way to, you know, we decided to, okay, we're going to get our cars now because I've had the same car since college. That 2003 Altima, like, I was cool with it. Like, I really was. Like, my parents bought me that. I was like, I don't want another car. That I don't want no payments. Like, I got this. I'm wheeling this out. Like, I'm good. Like, I really didn't care about having another car. But he got into a position where he's like, you know, I want to buy your dream Jeep and let's get your Jeep. You always want a Jeep. But I want a Jeep because in 20 years, it never looks old. Like, because that's the type of person I am. True. I don't want something in 5 years. I'm not trying to upgrade. Yeah, my car already had, I've only had my car, it's a 2017, it has over 40,000 miles on it. Like, I don't care. Like, I ride it, it was brand new. And I ride this, and I don't care. I'm not the type of, I need the new this, and new that, and Gucci this. I don't care. So I want a Jeep because in 20 years, it will still be my Jeep, and it will be the best Jeep ever. And so he got me my Jeep, and then he said, I'm going to buy you a home. It's like, you've always wanted a home, you know, it's time for us to buy a home. But when you own a business, for years, we were like, well, we're trying to get this house, we're trying to get a house, but you need to have everything in order to get a house, credit, whatever. Okay, it didn't work out. We weren't in a place financially. We weren't in a place in our marriage. We were arguing. You know, everything was just the worst. And then now he gets fired from the job that he's been building everything for because you got to have work history. I've been working for 2 years. Okay, now you can get a home. He gets fired from it. And then now you work for yourself. Oh, when you work for yourself, you got to basically show the bones inside your body to get a mortgage now because this is a liability. So now you got to work for yourself for 2 years and show proof. So it's like, okay, we're going to work towards it. And I'm like, 2 years is so far away. I never have a house. I'm never going to have a house. I want a home. I want a home. We're like, give me a home. You know, and then it was just like, you know, I'm just going to trust the process. Trust the process. You know, Kahari got his car and he bought, let me tell you. And it's just all, like, all divine timing. I mean, all the homes that I wanted before, we just bought our first home in December. And all the homes that I wanted before, all the homes I wanted before that I cried about losing or not being able to get, don't compare to the home that God wanted me to have. Like, it's not a mansion. It's not, you know, in the richest name. It's the home that we has everything we wanted it to have. And we were going to settle. And God does not like his people to settle. We think that we know it all. We think we see the big picture. We think that, oh, this is what I want. And it's the best thing for me. And God's like, no, sis, like, this is what I want for you. Like, you can get so much, you know, you can have this. Like, and so all the delays, all the disappointments, it all was to lead us up to getting a strong marriage to support each other through hard financial times. I needed to be spiritually right there to support Kahari through it all. We needed to be there with no outside distractions to raise our children. You know, they're getting of that age where, yes, things are now sticking for real, 8 and 6 years old. We needed to kind of build the foundation in order for us to, and I'm glad I didn't have a home because those are fake foundations. We think, oh, I need a house, I need a car, I need this, I need that, I need to travel. Those are fake foundations because when those go, what you got? What you got? Right. Are you strong enough to hold? And I'm glad that God made us strong without anything in order to put us into something. And, you know, like, I thank God every day for Kahari because, really, he is the sweetest person. He's an awesome father. He's an amazing husband. He is so fun. Like, he is really crazy. Like, I love Fahari to death, and it was just growing pains. It literally was growing pains. Like, literally, like, I teach my biology students all the time, the skeletal system, the muscular system. Growing hurts. Like, it does hurt. Like, that's why teenagers go through pains. It's called growing pains for a reason. In order for a diamond to become a diamond, it has to go under pressure. In order for your shirt to get no wrinkles, it has to go under heat. I mean, you have to go through something in order. I'm not saying it has to be something like what I went through, but your marriage, your relationship, your workplace, whatever it is, has to go through something for you to rely on God. Like, that's the ultimate purpose. Like, God wants to just be like, oh, that was all God. Like, he wants to get the glory. Imagine if I just had the so-called perfect marriage and I got everything I wanted and we got a house. I would never keep saying, but God. This was all God, guys. Like, this was all God. And so that was his whole purpose. Yeah, that was his whole purpose. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know who's going through anything, but the truth is, you have to fight. Marriage is a fight. It is a daily fight. Oh, a daily fight. It could be infidelity. It could be finances. It could be spirituality. It could be unequally. It could be just them, the fact that they have on a red shirt. I don't care. It is a fight. It is a consistent. You got to wake up every day saying to yourself, I'm going to work at this. You can't breeze through. From the time you breeze through and think, oh, I'm just going to chill, it's like tension happens or somebody's not being fueled. You have to wake up consciously and put effort into it. And it's just, you know, I'm grateful for a mom that raised me to put my husband before my kids. My mom always, I was my mom, who you love more? You don't love me, mom, than daddy? She'd be like, nope. She'd be like, I love your daddy. Because let me tell you, when you guys get married and have kids, you're going to be out of this house. And who am I going to be left with?
I'm gone. I'm going to be left
with your dad. And most people are left with a roommate because they put all their focus into children. Yeah. And the truth is, I tell people, not everybody, but me personally, I was putting a lot of effort, and it would appear that my kids came first because I wasn't happy in my marriage. So my husband wouldn't have come first. But now, shoot, I ship these kids off in a heartbeat. Like, I want to be with my husband. I want to be my guy. Like, I'm trying to have a date night. Like, I'm trying to get rid of y'all. Y'all come on to my husband. And it's natural. When you are that happy in a relationship, when you just know that God wants this marriage to work, like, it cannot be nothing but you putting God first, because without him, it's evident it would not have worked. Then putting your husband and then the kids. Like, I mean, it's just literally like a day in, day out effort to just push through my marriage. Like, my pastor, one quick last stop, I know I'm talking a lot. My pastor said the crazy thing. He said, during Valentine's Sabbath, he said, we hear a lot about soulmates, 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 soulmates. He said, do you know soulmates actually comes from Greek mythology? And what happened was there were these creatures that were created or whatever, and they had four arms and four legs. This is Greek mythology, so, you know, some crazy stuff. So the gods, Zeus and them, they said, oh no, these creatures cannot live because they will become stronger than us. They're going to overcome us. Like, they're going to overthrow us. They're powerful. They're like two people in one. So what the gods did was split the soul, and like split that animal in half. And now you have two arms and two legs. I have two arms. And we're soulmates because when they saw each other, they were drawn together because chemically they were the same. And, you know, and so in our heads, we're thinking like, oh, like it's just always going to be like chemically, I'm just drawn to you. And then when a marriage doesn't work, it's like, oh, I guess you weren't my soulmate. When a relationship doesn't work, I guess you weren't the one for me. But there's no such thing. I really feel like, you know, God does put people in your life. You need to notice those signs. You need to notice red flags. But if you commit to marrying somebody, that's a God thing. So that's not like I married the wrong person, because God could have stopped that. There's no such thing as, I personally believe, I married the wrong person. Unless you just saw every red flag, he beating you, he cheating on you, he kicking your kids, and you still push through. I'm sure there are situations, but I'm saying, like, if you say I do, every marriage has hope. Every marriage. And yes, there are biblical reasons such as infidelity, abuse. There are reasons God gives out. There's no such thing as divorce is not of God. God biblically allows people, and my pastor showed me this, she allows people to get separated or divorced when certain things are introduced to the marriage. So yes, you have all the reasons, but God can save any situation. You have to allow him to come in and just kind of don't, because if you think of it as soulmate situation or, ooh, like googly eyes, those googly eyes go away. Like, you have to fight for it. You don't have to fight for a soulmate. You're just naturally attracted to a soulmate. We want to be one all the time, but You know, you're not going to always want to be one with your partner. You're not always going to like your partner. I always love my children. I don't always like them. Sometimes I'm just like, I really don't like you right now. Like, I really don't like your attitude. I really prefer my other child over you right now. And then there are days where I'm like, nah, get out my face. This is my other child. Like, I prefer. Because just things, just that, and that's going to happen in relationships as well. Like your partner, your best friend, whatever. You're going to love the person, but because you're not always going to like the person. You have to make sure that you build that foundation on why you love the person, unconditional love. And I'm not saying be treated like a dog and take anything from somebody. Because I know people, like, when people look at stars like Lala Anthony or Beyonce or whatever, they get back together with this. He just going to do you wrong, sis. They're fighting for their marriage just like everybody else. Yeah. And, you know, we cheer everybody else on except for regular people. You know, Beyonce album is a hit because she done told us, spilled all the tea, and now they're together. And it might look like it's perfect, but I can attest to the fact that I know it's not perfect still. And where's that? Oh, yeah, they're just the best couple. But your friend down the street is going through a marital problem, and you're telling her, leave that guy. In conclusion, I just want to say, this is my last line. You love somebody, fight for your marriage. I am a strong believer that God can fix anything. I'm a strong believer that things can turn around, and it's never going to be all perfect. And when it's, if you think it's always going to be perfect, from the moment it's not perfect, you're going to think it's the end and end it. No, just have that mentality that it's not always going to be perfect, but I love this person, and this person is worth fighting for. And so I thank Desiree for allowing me to come on and talk her ear off.
No, this is good.
And I know these kids are hungry. I know your kids are hungry.
Oh, I'm gonna go get Samson soon, but Kingston, he fell back asleep, so
it was perfect.
So this was perfect. Thank you so much. I know several people that I know I'm gonna be like, yeah, you need to listen to this, because a lot of things that you said, even for myself, that me and my husband have been through, things that you've said, like how you had to change yourself and how it just kind of clicked. Like, I can attest to that. That is real. And can I radically turn around when we actually stop pointing the finger and look it within, like, okay, obviously it's not changing because they're just still doing the same thing. Is there something else that I could do? Okay. What can I do? What do I need to do to make a change? So yeah. Thank you so much. This is so good.
No, I had a good time with my first podcast. Oh, and one line. And just talking about that Valentine's Day post that I posted, you were saying about all the comments, you will not believe how many DMs I have received. People like, oh my gosh, like, I'm going through, like, again, it looks one way on their social media. You're like, oh, I didn't know you were having problems. My one advice I always tell them, like, be the change you want to see. Do not worry about what your husband is doing. Don't worry about what your boyfriend is doing. Worry about what you're doing. Don't nag about anything, because let me tell you, for some reason, the way it works is when you change and be the best you can be, it's like a mirroring effect, and you're actually changing the other person. And if everybody in a relationship gets up just saying to themselves, I'm going to be the best me I can be. And Kahari and I say, because Kahari is like, I want to wake up and be like, go to bed, like, did I do everything I could have done to be a good husband today? And I need to ask the same question. Did I do everything I could have done to be a good wife today? If we only focus on ourselves, in return, we're actually going to please the other person more. And it's crazy how it works. But do not nag and bug and worry about what the other person, you need to change. You change. You be the best you can be, and watch how things turn around.
Right.
Watch how things turn around. They're crazy.
It's like sugar to ants.
It is.
It's crazy. Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you again so much.
I had a blast.
And that's a wrap. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and listening. I know it was a little bit longer than usual, but there was just so much good information and just the backstory. It, you know, it's just fun to like hear other people's lives and see that, you know, a lot of us, we're not so different as we think we are. We have a lot of things in common. So thank you guys again for listening and tuning in. If you haven't had a chance, definitely stop by the blog, www.sincerelymrsmommy.com, and you can check out the latest blog post. It has the information about this podcast, and you can also see some pictures of Faith and her husband, and that picture from Valentine's Day that we were talking about at the end. You can check that out on there. Definitely subscribe to the blog so you know when new podcasts and episodes and blog posts are posted. And also, you can follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Sincerely Mrs. Mommy. And if you want to get in touch with Faith, you can through Instagram. Her handle is Faith, the letter C, Smith. All right, you guys, I will talk to you on the next episode. Bye.